Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another edition of Focus on the Community. Frank Rush being joined this weekend by, well, as we record this, you're still officially a state cop, but by the time it airs, you'll officially be no longer, you'll be Joe Watts average, Joe Blow, no offense, nobody.
I will be Joe Watts retired from the Indiana State Police.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't recognize the voice, Sergeant Joe Watts, Indiana State Police, been a fixture on TV and radio as well as the force for, well, I don't know, how long were you the public information officer?
15? I've been the public information officer for 15 years. I've been on the department for 33 years.
Okay, so a lot of folks are probably used to seeing you on TV and hearing you on the radio and doing that kind of stuff. So now, though, hard to believe you've had 30 years in it. Now you're retiring.
Yeah, I have 33 years as a trooper, and I had 1 year before that as a dispatcher at the Terre Haute Post. So I've actually been employed by the Indiana State Police since August of 1984. So it's 34 years.
You're not that old.
I kind of a little bit feel it. Well, after all these years, I feel a little bit.
Yeah, you might feel it, but I was going to say in that amount of time, though, I mean, you really... It doesn't, you know, you're still retiring pretty young compared to a lot of people.
Well, I'm moving on to another adventure that's part-time, so a little bit slower pace for me. So I'm excited about it, and I get to work with some people that I've worked with before, so I don't want to disclose all that information. But I'm excited about it, and it's been a blessing to work for the Indiana State Police. I have told everybody I took no day for granted. I gave this department and the people that I work for in the community and all around everything that I possibly could give. So it's been a blessing that the state police allowed me to work here.
So what actually made you pull the trigger now? Just because you've got a chance to do something else?
I was going to leave in November of 2019 anyway, and this opportunity came about a little sooner. So I decided I wanted to take it and hopefully have a little more time around with the family than I used to have. And so I just decided to do it, and I feel good about it.
So what made you want to start doing this in the beginning? Because, you know, 84, you started as a dispatcher. I mean.
Oh, that's a story.
You just wanted to be in radio. That was it.
Yeah. I wanted to be on the Frank Rush show my whole life.
Yeah, listen to it.
And, you know, I tell everybody this, and this is the truth. I wanted to be a trooper from as far back as I can remember. No one in my family comes from law enforcement background. But I just remember as a small kid standing on the street in Park County, you know, I grew up in the Montezuma, and so growing up there and seeing state troopers come through town or stop in town, just something clicked with me when I was a little fella. So I have told everyone, I told the superintendent yesterday at my exit interview, that it's been a real thankful opportunity, and I'm just somebody that you're looking at that actually got to fulfill a dream.
Yeah. You say you're from Montezuma in that area. So why state? I mean, because to the normal person,
yes,
county sheriff, city police, it's all the same thing. You know, I mean, it's not, but it is, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So how come state and not one of those others?
Well, you know, back in the day, you know, when the state police come to town, I just thought as well, everybody did, you know, state troopers come to town were like, not that common. And, it just seemed like they were the best of the best. And it's no offense at all to my law enforcement partners on the city and counties today, which I have the utmost respect for. I'm just telling you, back as a kid, in the 70s, it just seemed like, that's where, law enforcement was with the Indiana State Police, and just something clicked. I don't know how better to say it than when I saw those guys, it was like, oh, I hope I get the opportunity someday. And not everybody gets that opportunity, and I've never taken it for granted. So,
yeah, and honestly, back then, state troopers were a little bit different than city and county. Nowadays, you guys all kind of, everybody kind of has the same jurisdiction, so to speak.
Yes.
Back then, though, pretty much there were defined jurisdictions where city,
they
stopped at the city line. County stopped at the county line. You guys were the only ones that could go anywhere you wanted in the state.
Yes. And it just seemed like a premier outfit to me, premier law enforcement agency. And it's just been a really good ride. It's been an awesome career. The people in the Wabash Valley support us, you know, and I've said that every time I've had the opportunity with media about how the Wabash Valley supports us, and not every community around the United States has that kind of support. So it makes our job even better, makes our job even more memorable and emotional.
Well, you get what you give.
That's what we hope. You know? I mean, it's what we hope. That's true.
Because I see people in my job, and I know that it's like if we run into somebody in your job and they're kind of jerks to us, well, then,
sure.
You know, and that's one of the things, too. Sometimes folks in your job do, some of them, get a little bit of an attitude. And to be quite honest with you, you never really had that.
You know, I don't think anyone would tell you that. I sure don't feel like I've ever had an attitude. I came from a normal, hardworking family, and, you know, my dad was like, do the right thing at the right time and work hard, and that's where I've been. And you know, my parents didn't have attitudes, and no one in my family did, so I really tried not to have one. So I don't think you would find someone to say that I had an attitude, but it's just been... Everyone's been real gracious to me. I couldn't have a better career. I could not have had one.
The only person that would say that'd be the last guy you wrote a ticket to, probably. But
first and last guy. But it's funny you bring that up because I kid you not, when I was working the road and would take people to jail, more often than not, very rarely did I have trouble with people. But people, when we got to jail, the guys would be like, I can't believe you're this nice as a policeman. And I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling you. I would let people that I had arrested listen to the radio in my car on the way, you know, the music radio on the way to jail. And I mean, they were handcuffed and everything, all the normal things, but I just treated people humanely is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the ones that wouldn't allow you to treat them humanely, then we would call for a cage from the county sheriff's department or something to put them in. They just were not in the mental capacity to be nice by anything. So, but it's been a good career.
Best part of the job.
The best part of the job, I tell everybody, is helping people. You know, when I come to work every day, I had two things for 33 years. One is put me in a place, you know, Lord, put me in a place where I can help somebody. Or two, allow me to put a smile on somebody's face for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Tell them a funny story, be nice to them, pat them on the back. You know, you can tell when you deal with people that they're having a rough day. So if you just ask them how they're doing. And listen and offer help. I get paid to do that. And so that's the best part of the job. If you come to work every day and you want to put somebody in jail, that your job will not be fun. It will not be rewarding. You will burn out from that in just a few short years.
There are some folks that kind of get into that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the one that let everybody go. I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is when people deserve to be arrested, they got arrested, but be humane about it.
And usually the folks that kind of come in and they have the attitude they're looking forward to bust somebody, they usually wind up getting tossed themselves. Usually.
A lot of times, you know. Yeah. So, but I've worked with a lot of good people. The worst parts about the job are dealing with tragedies, you know. I've worked, I couldn't tell you, countless fatalities. And because of my demeanor and how I am, I was often tasked with doing death notifications to families. And, but that wears on you and children, you know, when you work fatalities with children and stuff, that just emotionally wears on you over the years. So, those are the worst parts of the job.
Yeah. And you have to see a lot of things that the normal people don't, you know?
Right. When you don't read about what we do on the highway, you know, our media in the Wabash Valley is super to work with. And, but they can't put in their articles or you can't describe on the radio the horrific things that we see just because of how society is.
Yeah.
And so for us to do what we do and put people in, you know, put remains in body bags and parts of people and pull people from cars that are burnt or in parts or picking kids up and their parents are, you know, half a block down and you put them, it's just terrible.
Yeah,
so those things are terrible.
And that's something that you guys wind up doing, too. That's not just somebody from the coroner's office that you just kind of stand around and wait on. You actually have to do some of that yourself.
We do. And, you know, it's all of us, police, fire, EMS. You know, it's not just one agency, but we all endure all these emotional things along the way. And if they don't bother you, then so be it. But they've always bothered me in a nice way because I care about people. So I've always been emotional about those things. But I care about people. That's why.
You have to put up a little bit of a mental barrier. You kind of have to be able to divorce yourself from the job, I guess, in some of those cases.
You do. You know, I tell people all the time, like, man, how do you deal with that or whatever? And I'm always like, I just shove it down and keep going every day, you know? So, you know, I work out. I like comedy shows, all those kinds of things. But, you know, in my job, you know, I've seen three people that I've been talking to and trying to help shoot and kill themselves.
Oh, wow.
So, to see stuff like that, you just never get rid of it and you feel helpless because you're like, I don't know what else I could have done. And so there's a lot of things.
There has been a lot of change over the 30 some years. Mm-hmm. Probably, I'm guessing from my own point of view, a lot less respect now than there was probably when you started. You probably get a lot more flack and a lot more grief from people, even the bad guys, than what you got in the beginning. From your point of view, what's changed?
I think society, from my point of view, has changed. People think they should be given everything without having to work for it, earn it, and they don't have to listen to anyone. They don't have to take orders from anyone. And I tell people all the time, when I started as a trooper in 1985, the things you really only had to worry about were maybe a drunk driver, a person with a little bit of marijuana in their pocket, and a pocket knife. I mean, it's just, you know, cocaine wasn't that prevalent. Methamphetamine wasn't around yet. People weren't on prescription drugs like they are now. For the most part, kids minded their parents and were respectful to their parents and law enforcement. And now it's kind of the opposite. Everybody's on, so to speak, a number of people are on some kind of illegal substance, and no one wants to listen to anybody, and people are carrying weapons, and people are running from law enforcement more than they used to. So the times have changed a lot.
And they're also more willing to challenge you too, because let's face it, how many times have we heard and seen the stories where somebody in your position would pull somebody over in a simple traffic stop?
Yes.
And before they got up to the car, somebody's already climbing out of the car and opening fire. Yes. I mean, there is a lot more danger, from my point of view, there's a lot more danger in what you used to do than what there ever has been before.
You know, I believe so. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I firmly agree with you. And I think we're being killed, law enforcement being killed at sort of a record pace right now. And people are willing to do those things. And I think there are a number of factors. You know, one, a lot of people aren't raised correctly by their parents, you know, with the job situation and the stress and drugs and all those different things. You know, the most people that we encounter that are very violent, there's some kind of drug issue in the background. And I think people are just willing to try more drugs and different drugs than they ever have before. So, but there has been a big difference in law enforcement. So
is it still a job you would recommend? And would you even recommend it to your own kids?
You know, it's a job I would recommend. I would do it all over again myself. Would I recommend it to my kids? Sure. The Indiana State Police is a good place to work. They, you know, they take care of their people. It fed my family and it has great benefits. You know, I would tell them to be extra cautious these days and be prepared for people challenging you. You know, when I first came on, people didn't have the capability of videoing you and taping you. And now everybody wants to do that on a traffic stop. You know, they want to video you and tape you. And so there's a lot of additional pressure, because we all know that if something does happen, media normally positions that 3 seconds. They don't position the minute or two before or after. And so, you know, you're under a lot of pressure always, and society just thinks that policing, you know, you have to be absolutely perfect, and no situation is the same. So most often our demeanor is dictated by what you do, and society doesn't really want to listen to what you do as the behavior you're displaying or presenting that causes law enforcement to do those things. Now, I'm not saying law enforcement is right every time. There are many cases where law enforcement is wrong. I'm just telling you, the people that I've worked with in my experience, we've done the best we can and had very few problems. So,
well, that's not bad. So you enjoyed the career.
Oh, I did. I would do it all over again.
Yeah. But what did you not get to do that you wanted to do?
You know, that would probably be a tough one there. One thing I didn't get to do, because I was already in public information, but I always wanted to be a motor patrol officer, a trooper on motorcycle. But I was already in public information, and as a sergeant's rank, and I would have had to take a bus back to trooper. And I was not willing to do that, because I love
nobody
public
likes
information.
Being demoted.
Yeah. And first of all, I loved public information. Yeah. So it has been a dream. I'm not just saying this because you have me on the radio. You and I have worked together for years. But the media here supports law enforcement as long as we're doing the right thing. And we're very thankful of that. You know, the media here also digs when they think maybe something's not right. They, you know, they look at the entire circle. I get that. And they should. But you know, and some of the most rewarding times I've had here are, and it's not about me, but I'm just telling you, you know, I'm super proud of 3 life-saving awards. In 2006, the Indiana Pacers presented me with a Heroes Award for pulling a guy from a burning car at a Pacers game.
That's cool.
Yeah. In 2010, the people of Vigo County gave me the 2010 Police Officer of the Year in Vigo County for a stabbing situation that occurred in Prairie Creek where a lady was trying to steal a baby. And, you know, I was the first responder there along with THPD Officer Larry Manley. So we were co-winners that year. And so there's been a number of things that I'm super proud of on the agency. One little thing that I'm proud of that is I just attained my 1,200,000 mile accident-free pin that I wore on my uniform. So actually when I ended the department, it was about 1,237,000. So, but my last official pin was 1,200,000.
And that's not easy considering you guys have all gotten, and I know you yourself have been in a few chases to get people down. And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, that's really cool. Light siren blaring and you get to do 100 mile an hour. Yeah, that's probably the most dangerous part of the job.
It's one of them. You have to be, you know, you're talking on the radio. You are looking left and right, right to left, forward, down range. I mean, you know, because you know people anymore, they have their radios turned up so loud or they have headphones in and they don't see the siren and everything to the last minute. But, you know, we drive in all kinds of weather, rain, sleet, or snow. We're driving in it. So, you know, it's a little hard to get that. You just have to pay attention. I did have a wreck one time, cost me 10,000 miles. I hit a tree in the water, on rain, slick roadway. So we all make mistakes. You know, I'm no saint there. So,
yeah. So it happens, you know, it does.
You know, I can remember a funny story real quick. In 1985, when I went to the, or excuse me, I came on in 1985, but the time the state fair rolled around was 1986. So I go to the state fair and fell in love with the state fair, and I've worked the state fair every year since then.
I knew you'd been there a lot.
Yeah. And you know, my first Indiana State Fair, I went there and I just could not believe that they paid me to do what I was doing. I rode in a golf cart around the state fairgrounds in the Midway area as part of the security team, but you're getting paid to work at the state fair and run across a number of great people, see a number of great acts when they had the stage there. You know, we would just drive back, you know, to the backstage on the golf cart and get off and talk to all the acts that come in. So to get paid to work at the state fair was just really something, and I fell in love with it.
Before I let you go.
Sure.
Best ticket story. What's the best excuse you've ever gotten for somebody that, I mean, obviously you pulled them over. They were obviously way beyond what they should have been.
Oh, that's an easy one. It happened right just east of Brazil on US 40. I stopped a young girl for speeding one morning and she produced, I don't know about the authenticity of all of this, but yeah. I fell for it and I gave the young lady a warning, even if she was acting, I'm like, that's a superb job. So I walk up to the car and she's crying, which a lot of people do, but she really looked authentically crying. She produced two documents to me as why she was upset not paying attention to her speed. One was a pink slip on a letterhead from her employer saying that her job had been terminated on that morning. Mm-hmm. And that morning when she got up to go to work, her boyfriend had left her a letter on the kitchen table that he was leaving her signed his name. So she produced to me two documents. And the speed wasn't that bad.
So and I gave her a warning. What was she in a hurry to go to?
She was, her girlfriend, a friend, you know, this girl was going to take her out for lunch and stuff to get her calmed down. And she was in a hurry to get to her house.
And you don't remember how fast she was going?
I truly don't remember that. I would say it was a normal speed, but probably something like a 70 on US 40 out there, something like that.
That's boogieing through there.
Yeah, you know, so, but she did produce those two documents. So by far, that's the number one story.
So don't ever let it be said you don't have a heart.
Hell no. Don't ever let it be correct. I have a heart.
Oh, well. All right. Joe Watts, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Enjoy your retirement. Don't work too hard.
I will. Thanks for all the time, Frank.
What are you going to do now when you see somebody blow by and you want to pull them over and write them a ticket? And you're like, oh, wait a minute. I forgot. I can't do that now.
Honestly, I can answer that real easy. I'm in my pickup truck and I really don't care. As long as you're not bothering me or causing me a problem.
Yeah, well. All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing who your replacement's going to be. But they got big shoes to fill.
I thank you for that. Yeah, I thank you for that.
Joe Watts, former with the Indiana State Police. Thank you, sir. Stick around. We'll see you next weekend here on Focus on Community.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.